B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Cotton candy. See you later.
So I looked up some of the best aliases during the last break.
All right, so yeah, Mason Saunders is one of them.
Yeah, that's up there. I'd say that's a top tenner.
Who else you got?
Well, Ron Mexico, we discussed, I think we can say, is the greatest of all time.
That is the champion.
Greatest of all time.
After that, there's rankings.
Yes. All right. So that's the Michael Jordan of aliases.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our own Walter Thurman here in Philadelphia.
That's right.
When he went to the Beer League Softball League in Fairmount Park and apparently was just hitting dingers left and right, went by the name Dick Mahoney.
That's great.
Which is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a bar I frequented, by the way, that the Bishop's Collar in Fairmount.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to Bishop's many times.
That's a popular spot. I remember people saying, yeah, when he pulled up in a Mercedes, we're like, who is this guy that's playing
They pour a nice Guinness there.
Yes, they do.
Brian Anderson, former Royals pitcher. Used to go by this one. Now, this is a personal favorite of mine because of the movie. He used to stay as Lieutenant Frank Drebin.
That's good.
Evander Holyfield.
Uh-huh.
He used to go around as Evan Fields.
Evan Fields.
Kind of sounds like a porn star, if you ask me. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Wait, Evander Holyfield?
Yeah.
Isn't his son under contract right now with the Eagles?
Yes, yes. Elijah.
Yeah. The New Deal, I believe, is his nickname. Okay.
Former MLB-er Carl Everett used to stay at places as Rod Stewart. Usually you don't go to another famous name.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Roger Clemens used to stay at places as the Red Glare.
The Red Glare.
Nice.
Huh.
All right.
Allen Iverson made the list as Bubba Chuck.
Bubba Chuck.
Uh-huh.
Black Mamba apparently was used here and there.
Okay.
And there's some others, but yeah, I think Lieutenant Frank Drebin, Dick Mahoney, and Evan Fields take
this
the cake.
This is going to be random about using another celebrity name. I'm pretty sure, and I remember hearing this.
Oh, and one more, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
CC Sabathia was George Jetson.
If I see George Jetson on a guest list of a hotel, I'm like, somebody famous is in room 209,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going up there. But, like, I think there was a boy band that would just go to the hotels and use other names of the boy band. Like,
so
Lance
dumb.
Bass of NSYNC would use the name Joey Fatone.
Yeah. Joey, like, Fat One.
Joey
Get
Fat
it right.
Miss Scoozy. 610-632-0975. Want to get on the program. So far, just by Twitch, people are not at all outraged at the new Philly Fanatic, the new look Philly Fanatic. I believe I've found about 10 differences between the two. I did a little photo hunt, if you ever played that at a bar. That's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I found 10 differences between the old Fanatic, quote-unquote, and the new Fanatic. So far, no one on this program seems to be enraged. Were you upset? Was anyone here upset? Was anyone here ready to take up arms against the new Fanatic?
Nah.
Yeah, it's pretty virtually the same.
It's cool. As long as you got to do whatever you got to do to kind of... Is this all based off the lawsuit?
I would assume.
Yeah.
So you have to. So whatever you have to have 10, 15 changes to make it your own type.
Whatever
of
it would be, yeah. To me, I don't know. Like, I'm no lawyer. But I don't know how that's enough. It's still the same likeness.
It's definitely the same.
If I drew that and drew the old Fanatic, it's the same thing.
What is their case?
Of what?
Like, why, like, their case is what? That you stole this idea from us?
No, they didn't steal it. I didn't read into it.
So, the legality, I think, says in perpetuity, which legally can mean 35 years.
Uh-huh.
But they gave the Phillies the rights forever.
Yes.
Like, the word forever is in
the contract.
In the contract. They obviously want a cash grab because the Phillies have turned it into something enormous and then they profit off of. Rumor on the street is, and I don't know this to be confirmed, but that they offered the creators of the Fanatic $25 million, and they basically said, nope, not good enough. So they're trying every legalese term under the sun to try and get their rights back to this.
Yeah,
it's a cash grab.
Yeah, and forever only means 35 years. It's not forever, ever.
Yeah. It's not all eternity.
That's in perpetuity. But the word forever is in there.
Yeah,
yes.
But it's for 35 years forever.
And the 35 years is up.
It's not forever, forever.
And this June.
It's not forever, ever, ever.
Yeah,
ever, ever?
Forever, ever? But yeah, apparently this June they could.
What also is written in the contract is "Ooh, I am for real" is also in the contract.
So I mean, the Phillies are probably going to pay, but these people just need to be happy with their $25 million. I would say
they're going to go for more than that.
Give them 50. I don't give a damn. You'll make it back. Just put Bryce Harper in some Fanatic outfit, sell it, and you get your money back.
All right. So real quick, those were the two things that I saw this week. Oscar Lindblom, another great thing from the weekend, and then our good friend Dan Orlovsky. Did you see this?
I did. Very cool tweet.
This is what I ended my my weekend on. 7:41 last night, our good friend Dan Orlovsky, who was one of the few people to interview for any semblance of an offensive coordinator position at the Eagles, allegedly, reportedly, he tweets this out. His son just came downstairs with a New York Yankees hat on.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, who's from the Philly area, Bluebell, if I'm not mistaken, my wife... As she snaps her head at him, where did you get that? Him, upstairs. Her, as she walks over to him, grabs it and says, we're Phillies fans, and proceeds to throw the hat in the trash, grab her phone, and order a Phillies hat off Amazon.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hashtag Philly girl.
There you go.
I think Dan and his wife, I think they have like 17 children. They need to have like 17 more.
Okay, there you go. Huh?
They just if mama's going to be running that household...
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the other great thing I saw on social media.
I like it. Did you guys watch the fight?
I did.
Jamie did.
Yeah. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I watched it as well.
I was proud of myself because staying up till 1 in the morning is no easy
tough,
task,
man.
These days. Yeah.
You know,
that was barely a fight.
Yeah, I had to take a nap, you know, trying to get my mind right for it.
The entrances were something.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
What time did the fight start? Like 11-ish or later?
11:45-ish.
Yeah, by 11:45. Oh, wow. Yeah, it was really late.
Yeah. It was barely a fight.
Real quick, you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hours brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Now, I caught the knockout punches on Twitter.
Tyson Fury beat his ass the entire game.
Whooped him down.
His team made the right decision throwing the towel in. He was done.
And how about him throwing his corner under the bus?
Yeah, he did not like it.
Not a little bit. He said, not to make excuses, and then he made four excuses, including his corner not having his back, and then he was just like, no excuses.
Yeah.
What?
When you get taken to the hospital immediately after for precautionary measures, I would say your team did the right thing.
Yeah.
I'm all about busted his eardrum.
Yeah, but he's not going to make any excuses because there were things that were happening that led to him not being right, but he's not going to make any excuses because he got whooped. But, you know, he did come in 15 pounds overweight, but you're not going to make any excuses.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and then, like, your legs were a little shot, but I ain't going to make any excuses for
you. Right, in my corner, I don't know what they were thinking, but no excuses.
Let me go out on my shield, but I'm not going to make any excuses
for him. I asked MGM Grand to have it set to 74 degrees. It was set to 72, but I'm not going to make any excuses.
I think he had the long walk from wherever his room was to the ring and his dressing room, I guess you can say for boxing or a locker room, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think that had something to do with it. And it just looked like from round one, he was done. That was it.
But we're not going
to
make any excuses.
Yeah, not going to make any excuses, you know. But his girl, did you see his girl, his fiance? Oh my gosh, the walk in, the dress. I was like, my God, what is that? looks painted on there.
Oh, one of those
it was
deals.
It was tight.
I don't think I would have like a fiance in my entourage as I'm walking in for a fight.
Yeah, you know.
Right.
But he's not going to make any excuses.
No excuses.
Yeah, you know.
Like her dress was too tight, but no excuses.
No excuses.
All right, bigger beating. Bucks versus Sixers? Or Fury and Tyson.
Fury?
Yeah. Or Tyson Fury and,
Sixers. It was odd because it could have been worse.
Really?
Like, they played poorly, but they got it. I felt like it should have been way worse.
Here's where it would have been worse. It would have been worse if Ben Simmons was still playing in that game. Tobias Harris was not hobbled with his knee injury in the second half of that game. And they still get beat like that. That's the only way it could have been worse. Now, the fact that Ben Simmons only played 4 minutes and 44 seconds, the fact that Tobias Harris looked like he came up lame at one point, and the fact that the Bucks were just shooting their lights out for an extended period of time, that almost made you go, all right, well, at least you don't have all the bullets in the chamber right now. But still, the best player in the world, quote-unquote, according to himself, did not play anywhere near that standard Saturday night. And I wasn't tweeting a lot during the game. I don't even think I tweeted once during the game. I was just following what people were saying about it. But I was watching it just going, there's, of all the times the offense has zero, I don't know, fluidity to it, as soon as Ben Simmons was out, I knew the game was done. As soon as he was out, that was game. Because if you weren't going to have the type of structure to your offense against the Nets without Ben Simmons, you sure as hell weren't going to have that against the Milwaukee Bucks and the way they play defense, especially with the way they play defense at home. That game was done. I at least expected to see a better effort, a much more output, a much better version of Joel Embiid in that game, and he was a non-factor almost in that one. A non-factor after proclaiming himself the best player in the world.
Yeah, you know, I was so frustrated with the Sixers offense on Saturday night, and I tweeted something out and people were calling, oh, well, they're getting open shots or just not making them. They're getting wide open threes. And I'm like, yeah, but they're not a good three-point shooting team on the road. So why are you playing for threes? You know, why aren't you playing for something else? Then Ben Simmons goes out and it's that typical throw the ball, one guy has it, four stand around. So I'm like, am I missing something? So I watched yesterday, I watched Boston and the Lakers. Boston runs such a nice, fluid offense where people are moving, people are cutting, off the ball screens. I mean, just great stuff without the kind of talent that the Sixers have. Then you look over at the Lakers. They do have the talent that the Sixers have. And this is my complaint before about, oh, they don't fit. Okay, funny how Anthony Davis just stepped into a lineup with LeBron James and everything fits. How Dwight Howard comes off a bench and is able to do things. Rajon Rondo. Like, it just looks fluid. It looks natural. Sixers offense is garbage. Like, it's garbage.
And even the guy that's supposed to be the catalyst offensively, your leading scorer and all that, like, he didn't look like he could find any rhythm. And it wasn't a matter of watching him hit, you know, try to shoot three. It wasn't a game where he shot five or seven threes.
No, I said to Bob earlier this morning, I've never seen a team that good miss so many shots from within 5 feet. And yeah, the Bucks have good defense and some of them were contested, but nobody on this team outside Ben Simmons can finish at the rim with like authority.
No, nobody can.
Everybody tries to finesse their way into a layup.
Finesse. See, there's that word. Yeah. Finesse. They don't play a powerful brand of offensive basketball at all.
Yeah. Just real quick, you know.
Yes?
Just doing some research because somebody tweeted me this real quick.
Okay.
You need to look it up. John B. Stetson.
The Stetson hat?
Yeah. The inventor of the modern day cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Is from Philadelphia.
Is he really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at that.
Cowboy in Philadelphia.
Wait, it's Google. Bam, right there. He's from Philly.
Hmm.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah.
I mean, once upon a time, everybody was a part of Philly.
I mean, what are you talking about? Back in 1865, was there a part of Philly then?
Wait. Yeah, what did they call Old City when, like, Ben Franklin was walking around Old City?
Center City?
Center City?
I don't know. The city?
Yeah, probably.
The river?
Yeah, he made the hat from a beaver, from the fur of a bee. He used beaver fur.
Just going to let that one hang out there.
Just let it.
Again, do we have the more you know jingle?
Yeah.
Do we have that for a little Trey factoid?
Yeah, there you go.
He's from Philly. Go figure. He's from Philly.
Yeah.
I did not realize
John
that.
B. Stetson. Yeah.
All right.
He made the head of fine fur from beavers.
All right. Yeah. We're all better people now.
Beaver trim. There you go.
Coming up, there is a little bit more reason to be concerned than we would like with Ben Simmons due to someone very close to him. Letting us know that this could be, how they put it? More than basketball?
Bigger than basketball.
Yeah,
basketball.
Let you know what that
sends
is.
Shivers down my spine.
We'll read that to you coming up in a minute here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So we have cause for concern with Ben Simmons and the future of this season with Ben Simmons because he leaves the game. First off, he didn't play in the first game against the Nets coming back from the All-Star break after he played nearly 30 minutes in that All-Star game. At the time, I was all about it, man. It was awesome. I loved it. All competitive. And then after the fact, when he missed the game against the Nets, I thought to myself, oh, it's great that it was competitive, but do we really want it to be competitive? Like, do we really? I know it looked cool, but for the Sixers right now, it doesn't look great. Considering last year, what did Embiid miss? 8 games after the All-Star break?
Yeah.
A little tendonitis?
Felt like 60, but yeah, it was like 8 or 9.
Felt like forever. Yes, it did. And then Ben Simmons comes out this year. Now, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons both played around 30 minutes in that All-Star game. JoJo, health-wise, seems fine. His game could be a little bit better, but yeah, otherwise he's fine health-wise. Ben Simmons has played 4 minutes and 44 seconds since the All-Star break. Joel Embiid has played 71 minutes since the All-Star break. This is what's got me concerned. Not just the fact that Ben Simmons left the game after missing a game with the back injury, with back stiffness, but this little tweet came out from somebody, as I teased before the break, from somebody within his own camp. And Jamie, you pointed this out to us earlier today.
Yeah, 5:24 a.m., fresh off the press.
And who tweets us this tweet?
This is Liv Simmons, his sister. She's a frequent tweeter, very involved with the team, yes. Follows, huge fan, Ben's, you know, number one supporter and fan, all that. Excuse me. She tweets at 5:24 this morning, quote tweeting a John Clark tweet from Sunday morning saying there's an MRI scheduled today, a second opinion is going to come on Monday. Liv Simmons quote tweets that and says, this is bigger than basketball. Right then, I could stop reading because that's all I needed to know. Then she says, some of you bleep-tards need to be nicer to my brother. Your blank holes.
So she's rather surly.
Angry,
with this tweet.
I would say.
Yeah. She's a little angry. But this in all seriousness, this worries the hell out of me. Because if somebody's sibling is willing to take to Twitter to call out anybody that might be, I assume she's responding to people that might be calling her brother soft.
I'm sure there was some horrible opinions out there on Saturday night and Sunday morning.
And theories as to why he has a back injury.
And I'm sure they're probably mostly wrong.
Yes.
And Ben Simmons has shown he's a pretty damn tough player.
When somebody, yeah, absolutely. But when somebody says,
those first three words sent shivers down my spine.
Bigger than basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that means there's legit concern on her part for him.
And the Sixers,
and outside of the sport, just concern.
And Bob, you said this, and I know it was reported during the game as well against the Bucks, that apparently the Sixers' game plan was to
treat him during the game. So when he came off the court, he was going straight to the locker room to get treatment during the game.
So I give him all the credit in the world for at least being willing to try to fight through it and even play in that game and try. Like you had even said, Bob, against the Nets, if it was a playoff game, it's something that you would expect him to play.
Yeah, well, I was wrong.
This Bucks game was like a playoff game. He at least tried to go. He gave it 5 minutes, and it didn't work out, unfortunately.
But you have to ask, if there's legit concern here from Liv, that concern isn't a pulled muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, to Bob's point, was Saturday the right decision? You know what I mean? If it was something potentially worse, why push it? Why push it if it's something other than just muscular related?
Okay, so the answer to that question is you shouldn't. You shouldn't have to push it. But if I'm trying to say why what happened, then I'm saying it because Ben Simmons probably pushed to be in the game. Ben Simmons probably said, no, I'm playing in this game. What do we have to do?
Well, then again, who's running the asylum?
The inmates, as always, the Sixers.
Yeah, I'm not going to do hearsay and say he shouldn't have been out there in the medical staff. But once again, medical staff under scrutiny, right?
Yeah. If your game plan was to massage it through, and again, my own little theory here is that Ben said, no, to hell with this. I'm playing. This is the Bucks game. I got to play in this game. So they said this is the only way we could do it where you'd even have a chance to do it. And I'm hoping that that didn't make things worse. And then reading this tweet from somebody well within his own camp, his sister, that makes me extremely concerned about the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And look, I'm rooting for the guy to be healthy.
Yeah, obviously, we all are. But that's bigger than basketball. That's a big statement.
You see that or you read about that from anybody about a particular player, somebody that's in their own camp, and that raises your eyebrows and gives you a lot of concern.
And if he did everything under the sun to play Saturday night, you love that attitude as a fan. That's all you want from your player, is for them to care almost as much as we do. And clearly, that game meant a lot to him Saturday night, because the Woj report said he was visibly upset leaving the X-ray room at the Milwaukee Center.
Yeah, this is a huge cause for concern.
I'm terrified that there's going to be bad news today.
If we didn't have cause for concern before, this is really, I don't know what to say that would comfort anybody about the rest of this year.
His sister is worried about him. Bottom line, that's all you got to say.
Okay, so if it's Joel Embiid's team now. So who's running the offense? Does Josh Richardson become your point guard for the foreseeable future?
What's the
contingency
plan? He has to be.
Because here's where I'm confused, all right? Howell Neto was your starting point guard against the Nets. and he played 26 minutes in that game. Then only got garbage time after Ben Simmons left the game after 5 minutes. And I'm not making a cause for Howell Neto. I'm asking a question here. So your solvent, your solution for that was Alec Burks to come right in the game for Ben Simmons? Alec Burks couldn't throw the ball into the ocean from a boat in that game. He was terrible.
Yeah.
And what, Josh Richardson, what, does he become your regular point guard?
He played point guard with Miami at times last year. It's not like he's never done it before. I couldn't believe that Howell Neto started on Thursday. And to see him not play on Saturday just confirmed for me that Brett's decision-making when it comes to personnel comes at a glacial pace.
So 25 games left, and two-fifths of your starting lineup is going to... I'm sorry, three-fifths, because you're missing a point guard.
Yes.
It looks like you're going to put your two-guard at point.
Yes.
And you just took out your starting four in favor of somebody else. So good, 25 games left, and three-fifths of your starting lineup isn't what you thought it would be.
And how many games you think Embiid is going to give you before he needs to take some load management?
Yeah, right, before he has some kind of phantom injury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But no, in all seriousness, though, you do
our
this.
Pets' heads are falling off!
So Jay Rich is your number one.
He's got to be. I mean, you can't start Shake Milton, and you certainly can't start Howell Neto.
Burks, your number two?
Yeah, it's got to be. That's all you got. You don't have any options.
All right, so then... Does Al Horford go back on the floor as a starter? Or do you put Tobias Harris as your power forward and have Glenn Robinson the third as your
three? Yeah, that's what I still have Horford off the bench.
Yeah, I still keep Horford off the bench.
So now your starting five is Jay Rich, Burks, Robinson, the two guys that just got here.
Yeah.
And then Harris and Embiid.
Well, Harris won't be tonight, so maybe
Harris is out tonight with an injury.
Well, doubtful, excuse me.
Doubtful, okay.
But I'm not expecting him. So maybe Mike Scott starts tonight. It's possible you see Burks, Robinson, and Mike Scott and or Horford start tonight. What the hell's going on?
I think you summed it up. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
The only other way I could go back to it is the line I love from Ghostbusters. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. That's where we're at right now with the Sixers. So much promise.
This has honestly been one of the most frustrating seasons that I can ever recall for any team, ever.
Well, so you talk about frustration, and you talk about...
Like, it's not a failure yet. It's disappointing. Sure, frustrating is the word that comes to mind when I think of this year.
There was a lot of expectations nationwide with this Sixers team. It's not just local. It's not just people getting on a bandwagon and getting excited for their hometown team. Like, people thought it was the Bucks and it was the Sixers. They take care of business against Celtics. They take care of business this year against the Raptors, who don't have Kawhi anymore, right? It was a one-year stint there. No, this has been a nightmare. Jimmy Butler going to Miami has been a great thing for Miami. Like, we were expecting in the last 27 games of the season for the Sixers to at least get close to what they were supposed to be at the start of the year. Where at the beginning of the year, we had all these expectations, and now, the final 27 games after the All-Star break, we were going to see them really reach their apex, really get to the point we thought they could get to all season long and play the best basketball that we've seen them play. Ben Simmons misses a substantial amount of time. God forbid the rest of the season. Joel Embiid gets his time off. Tobias Harris has a knee injury.
I have no hope if Ben Simmons is out for any substantial period of time.
And now Brett Brown, and this has not been his strong suit, figuring out personalities and chemistry of a team. Now all of a sudden he's going to have to make it work with two-fifths of his starting five out.
Yep.
Maybe three-fifths, like, depending on what goes on with Tobias Harris. And these two guys aren't guys that were just coming off the bench. These are guys that just came from another team. And Glenn Robinson, as well as he played in his first game with the Sixers against the Clippers, and Alec Burks, who's just left a lot to be desired like he did against the Bucks. Now those are supposed to be two main cogs in your wheel? All right. I was never one to champion the cause for a first-round playoff exit, but when you talk about the two, like your point guard, your two-time All-Star point guard missing time,
yeah,
and Joel Embiid not playing up to snuff like he did against the Bucks, then this does not look good for the Sixers.
T-Bucky Jones just sent us a tweet and said, did you ever think you'd miss T.J. McConnell this much? And no, to be honest with you, I didn't.
Yeah.
Has anybody checked on the Beehive lately? Are they all right?
They're okay. They were partying for the All-Star game.
Just want to check on the Hive. Make sure the Hive is all right.
Hey, Mike Scott, now would be a great time to remember how to play basketball.
Yeah. Okay. Make some threes.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
We could use you right now,
just
buddy.
Just want to do a wellness. Check on the Hive, man. Make sure the Hive is all right.
I saw the Hive partying.
Yeah, the Hive had a party.
Now, look, yes, I miss T.J. McConnell, but even with T.J. McConnell, the wheels are off this. Like,
Oh, yeah. Without Ben Simmons, nothing really matters.
But at least we'd see T.J. McConnell hustle.
Yeah.
At least we'd see...
He's not named Howell Neto.
We'd see Embiid motivated by T.J. McConnell. Maybe that. Let's talk to Kay in South Jersey. What's up there, Kay?
Yo, what's up? What's up?
Hey, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, it's a bad situation, but you got to kind of look at it. It might be a blessing in disguise because now Brett Brown has no way of keeping his job. The city will appreciate how much we need Ben Simmons. And then we get a new guy coming in and we'll fix things. We know we need a backup point guard. I think it might be a blessing in disguise. Ben is young. He'll bounce back. And I mean, no one can say they see the finals in our future this year.
Yeah.
So it might be a blessing in disguise, but I thought that Kawhi shot last year, that marked the end of Brett Brown. That's why it didn't hurt. But when we kept him, I just felt the sting then.
Uh-huh.
But I think this might be, it might work out in the end, but it definitely hurts losing Ben. Definitely.
Look, Brett Brown, if the Sixers didn't make it to the conference finals, Brett Brown was not going to be back anyway. So I don't see any blessing in disguise here. I mean, in all honesty, and Kay, thanks for the call. Like, there, even like, if Ben Simmons is done for the rest of the year, and that thought is just too much in my mind now, and I hope it's wrong, but looking at someone so close to him, like his sister tweeting out how worried she is about him, then yeah, that's definitely going to be rattling around in my brain a little bit more often, unfortunately, but it's just obvious. For me, I didn't think this team was good enough to make it to the conference finals yet. I didn't think they're good enough to certainly make it to the NBA finals. But there's, even without Ben Simmons playing, I don't think Brett Brown keeps his job. Like, people might think, oh, well, this will be another excuse for Brett. He keeps his job. No, I don't think that really matters. I don't think Ben Simmons being out is going to save Brett Brown's job. Like, oh, we'll give him a chance. Yeah, no. He's had opportunities to save himself for next year already, and I don't think he has done that quite
yet. But to Kay's other point, I think this will maybe hopefully make people appreciate Ben more.
Well, there's one person I hope it does if he doesn't already. Joel Embiid.
Oh, really?
I hope he appreciates, you know, if he has point guards that can't get him the ball, if he has guys that can't carry this team when he's underperforming like Ben Simmons has, I hope he learns to appreciate his game more if he doesn't appreciate it already.
Maybe, but this season just started out so great in terms of our feeling about the Sixers and the bully ball that we were told they were going to play, and they haven't played anything that has resembled that even a little bit. And then in the game, you're supposed to see that bully ball from a guy like Al Horford and Joel Embiid. You don't see that at all against the Bucks. I mean, that is just, it's awful. And I just feel like you're between a rock and a hard place right now if you're the 76ers, and already you weren't feeling the good vibes. Now what, another evaluation today for Ben Simmons. We'll see what comes of that. It could be Elton Brand addressing the media again before tonight's game. We know he's not playing tonight. We just said that Tobias Harris is doubtful, but I don't think anyone's looking at Tobias Harris as if he's going to miss significant time. Right now, it seems with Simmons, that's a very real possibility. And as we've talked about, the back, it always comes up with a back injury. It's such a unreliable injury. It's such a fickle injury. You never really know what to do with it because at one moment, oh, I feel great, I can go. Next moment, yeah, I got to sit out a week. I don't know what it's going to be for Ben Simmons. Hopefully it's nothing that's going to be season-threatening. And you know what? On a personal note, to echo the line of his sister right there, hopefully it's something that doesn't affect him too much on a personal note either. But as a Sixer fan, as someone who's rooting for this team to win every time they go out on the court, there's not a lot of confidence that this team can do anything in the postseason without their two-time All-Star point guard.
No, it's pointless.
And Joel Embiid thought, hey, you know what? This guy's the best player on the team. Right now, the most talented guy on the floor. Where was he in the biggest game?
Yeah. I mean, you've seen the last two games, the impact Ben has, not only one defensively, but two. It's funny, you know, everybody's like, oh, but shoot the jumper, you coward.
Which is valid, yeah.
Look, but he clearly creates spacing on the floor. It's been evident. Mm-hmm. If you're a shooter, what did they shoot, 4 for 26 on Thursday night from three?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a direct effect of Ben Simmons.
They shot 35% overall, I believe, from the floor.
Yeah, he creates spacing.
Yeah, when they got down 12-2, he was also the guy that took the ball to the basket and ended that, you know, drought real quick.
Yeah. The other part of it is that I know that the spacing can be an issue with him, Joel Embiid, and Al Horford.
That was the problem.
But if you're a shooter, he creates all the space in the world for
you. Yeah.
Because he's the guy that collapses in the lane on, and he can kick it out to you. And that's where you get those open threes for guys like, you know, Korkmaz and before
J.J. Redick. Even Embiid gets a lot of them as the trailing big man.
Yeah.
I mean, Korkmaz thrived because of Ben Simmons at times. You know, His impact is monumental to this team. And if you're a Ben Simmons hater, really pay attention these next couple games, because I think you'll see a major difference with this team.
See, I don't even want to be right. Like, I don't even want to, like, root for those 10, 2 weeks, whatever. I don't even want to root for the I told you so type of thing.
No, I'm not saying that, but really pay attention, because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, Ben Simmons, and yeah, come playoff time, it's a different game. He creates, he is the heart of this team.
Mm-hmm.
He is the engine of this team. Pay attention.
We've talked about leaders in the locker room before. It tells you a lot when the two leaders are two guys that are of the least tenured on the team. When you talk about Josh Richardson, and you talk about Tobias Harris.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how the rest of the year plays out. We'll wait for that news, but as of right now, I'm not going to completely freak out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to completely lose my mind.
And I think also, too, a lot of people look at what's going on with Al Horford, and, you know, maybe he needs that inspiration, too, or somebody to kind of get him riled up, because his game is kind of, you know, taking a little nosedive.
Huge nosedive. Yeah. I mean, huge nosedive right
now. I would say
he
ran out of gas midair and just plummeted.
But it's like, you know, it's like a... the energy or whatever, because hey, I think he's used to being in a different type of atmosphere when it comes to playing. He feeds off of it, and it seems like that's not in that locker room.
Yeah. Well, look at, you know, they take the floor, they start running an offense, and it's just, and I know I'm harping on this, but it's just, there's nothing to it. So as a player, I go out on the floor, all right, he has the ball, I stand here. He has the ball, I stand here. Like, there's nothing to their offense. If they're not out running with Ben Simmons, their half-court offense is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just horrible. And, like, how do you get into a flow of a game when you're struggling, not just for a game, but when you're struggling for a period of games like Al Horford has? How do you really get yourself going? Right. Like, all they're doing with him is, oh, yeah, kick out, here you go, Al, shoot another three. It's not Al Horford's game. They're not playing to his strengths.
Yeah. All right, coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk about love. Because we're going to set the table for tonight. Because, Trey, where are Bob and Jamie going to be?
Oh, yeah, they're going to be courting on the court. They're chaperones.
They are the chaperones.
Yeah.
For a little love connection we made, thanks to our great friends at Rothman Orthopedics. RothmanOrtho.com gave us two court-level tickets today. Four, actually, because Bob and Jamie are going as well. Matt and Elena, mm-hmm. I believe. That's who we set up with our amazing algorithm. And they are going to be matched up. They were on the air last week. It seemed like a real connection. And they will be on the court tonight. They'll be right there with all the action. Unfortunately, Ben Simmons won't be playing. But Joel Embiid will. Tobias Harris is a maybe. But let's hope that their love blossoms tonight.
Are we sure Embiid is playing in this game?
He's scheduled to.
I double dog dare him not to.
Yeah, he better.
I was just asking.
And also, how about this? Fanatic listeners, check this out. The Fanatic and Sixers knockout tournament is back. Keep listening all week as the Fanatic gives you a chance to play knockout on the Sixers court Wednesday night, March 18th. You'll score a pair of tickets to the Sixers-Raptors game that night. Sixers-Raptors, man, that's a huge game.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the game, you'll experience what it feels like to play on the hardwood at the Wells Fargo Center for your chance to win. Listen to this. For your chance to win, a chance to get into that, to the knockout tournament, keep listening all week. Presented by Trumark Financial, the only place to get the official 76ers credit card and enjoy exclusive Sixers experiences and merchandise and so much more. Visit TrumarkFinancial.com. Visit Trumark.com. That's Trumark.com. TRUMARK.com to learn more and apply. When we come back, we'll get a little bit more into what those people can expect tonight for our courting on the court. 9 o'clock, Marcus Hayes, who was in Milwaukee, will give us the latest on the 76ers. Time of the Fanatic, 842.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
What is the, coming up in a minute, we're going to talk to you at Marcus Hayes, Inquirer.com. But Trey, what's the worst date experience you ever had? Does anything jump to mind?
The worst?
Jamie, worst date experience? Anything jump to mind? I'll tell you right out of the gate.
No, I was more like a just...
No action on the first one?
No,
the first ones were usually like a date. Like there was usually an icebreaker or hangouts before the one-on-one date.
That's an interesting way to put it.
I feel like the awkwardness comes when you're legit going to meet the person for the first time at the date.
I got set up once on a blind date, similar to our, and this is why I bring it up, for our courting on the court tonight.
I had somebody close to me, and not naming names here, have a, I call him an adult uh-oh.
Okay.
Yeah, mid-date.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, doesn't get much worse than that.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, some people wear Depends for that issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that one could be topped.
Okay, that's it. That's, you know, you're number one.
Or number two, depending on
Or number two.
I once got set up in high school on a blind date to go, like, take some girl to her prom. Like, a friend of mine's like, hey, my friend needs a date to her prom. Will you go? And I'm like, no. And she goes, well, my other friend needs a date, so maybe your friend can go.
Mystical got all excited at date talk.
Yeah,
so bounced me against the wall.
So in talking about like the worst date experience, that was a horrific time because I had nothing in common with this girl. Like this girl
that's
was
just straight awkwardness for 3 hours.
It was so awkward. I was afraid to ask for the salad dressing at the table. Mm. I ate lettuce and like radishes raw. Like no dressing. Like I didn't want to talk to this girl because it was so weird. She was like crazily into punk rock music, which is fine. It's just not my bag. We had nothing to talk about. I was literally the arm candy. Me and my buddy Sean ended up being the arm candy for the photos.
You're in there like fly me to the moon.
I'm like, yeah, do you like Sinatra?
In there.
Yeah, right. H2O, I believe, is a band that does the punk rock music.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a horrible day experience. How bad, like, what's the, like, we're all rooting for the best for our couple tonight.
Absolutely.
What's the worst that could happen?
I don't even want to think about the worst. I want to keep it positive. Keep
the worst is vibes just they don't talk and are kind of like turned away from each other.
Mm, sitting there.
Bob and I are in the middle.
Yeah, the worst would be Jamie having to carry the conversation.
Yeah, not looking forward to that. And
I might try to crash this party.
Oh, good. Please do.
Well, you should.
Come on in there.
I don't think conversation will be a problem, judging by Elena.
Yeah. No.
She seemed feisty.
Yeah, I don't think Matt's going to have to do a lot.
Yeah. Ask her how she's doing. Just nod yes. Ask a lot of questions, and you'll be good.
Isn't this cool? Court-level tickets. Thanks, Roth and Orthopedics.
She's the queen of squats.
Yeah, tell me about your squats again.
Yeah. Very excited about that.
Yeah, I think something's... It's going to be a good pairing tonight.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to crash this party. I can come hang out.
I'm going to try to come down shortly.
I have credentials, right?
What's that?
I think I have credentials.
Sure you do.
Yeah.
If not, we'll get you one.
No, Bobby, I'm not listening to you on that.
Oh,
you left me hanging that one time,
that
Bobby.
That wasn't my fault. You keep blaming me for something that I had nothing to do with.
I was standing outside. Hey, does a name Bobby Coney mean anything?
Well, there was your first mistake.
Does playing for the Eagles for 12 years, does that mean anything?
Yeah, Bobby was like, I'm sorry. You mean Bobby Coney? Yeah, you ain't going to be able to get in, big dog. I'm sorry.
Now, unfortunately, that one didn't work out so well. But yeah, if it's not going well in the early goings, is that when I get the text message from you guys? Because I'll be in the building.
I think we'll have a pretty good sense of it after 20, 30 minutes. Right? Yeah. I mean, I don't think you repair awkwardness after 20, 30 minutes.
No, that's the thing about awkwardness.
It's there from the start, and it's palpable.
But here's what it would take to repair awkwardness. It starts off terrible, and then 20 minutes into it, in some way, shape, or form, her life is threatened, and he saves the day. Like, that's the only way you can repair awkwardness. Yeah. I'm not.
Do you think either of them has the setup like friend call in case of emergency? Call me 45 minutes in.
Oh, nah, too obvious.
No, but think about it. You're still getting court level tickets to a game.
You don't want to bail on this, even if it's awkward.
Free drinks, food, parking. Come on. Hanging out with Bob and Jamie.
That's like ninth on the list.
Look, they're both fit people. Yeah. They both enjoy the gym. I think it's going to be just fine and dandy.
They both like Seinfeld. You can always fall back on that.
Right. Right.
They're part of that real small cult following that likes Seinfeld. Yeah, they'll be fine. I think it goes well tonight. I'm rooting for it, but we'll also hear from them tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we'll find out how it went, and we'll see. Because the ultimate question is whether or not...
Will there be a second date?
Is there a second date?
and then a third, and then a fourth, and then married, and then children.
And as appreciators of love, we hope there is.
As we embrace the love. Mm-hmm. That's what we embrace.
610-632-0975. Now, what was not embraced out of the gate, and we've barely talked about this today, and I'm almost proud of it because I feel like there was a lot of hot takes there for the taking when it came to the new look Philly Fanatic. Now, I look at 10 differences between the old Fanatic, Trey, and the new Fanatic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What jumps out to you about new look Fanatic?
I don't know. I really didn't
study?
Yeah. Like, hey, I read your list, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. Then I noticed that he looked a little leaner, and then I was, all right, moved on to Squirrel. What's that over there?
Some people think that there is a, he's trimmed down a little bit, that he went keto.
Keto, that was it. He did a little keto.
Yeah, so that was one thing that people noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Shorter snout. The nose of the Fanatic is not as long as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lighter shade of green overall. His hands are free of the fur.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost like wings.
Yeah.
And then he's got like a scale kind of trim going down the inside of his arm.
Yeah, I don't like that.
The hands are bugging me out.
The scales are bugging me out.
Well,
trying to make him dinosaur-like?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's from the Galapagos, Bob. He evolved into the Fanatic from something, you would presume, from maybe a lizard-ish type animal into the Fanatic we know and love today.
You can ride turtles.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you can actually do that. I made that up.
But you can get inside their old shells.
Huh.
I have a picture of Addie in an old giant tortoise shell.
Yeah. And you go sledding.
Yeah, and she fits. I didn't want to push it because I thought my fat gut might bust it. And I was just like, nope, not going to do that. But my slender, beautiful wife, you can hop in there.
How old is this shell? A million years?
Yeah.
I'm good.
When I was there, it was Handsome George was the oldest giant tortoise left. I think he's still alive, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
So he's evolved from something. So maybe his original evolution was a scaly lizard type figure. I don't know.
All right. He also has blue socks, stars.
He is real. 100% very real.
The Fanatic?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Blue socks, red shoes now with laces drawn on, not freestanding, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, the scale-like things under his arms.
Yeah.
That's what freaked me out the most. Also, the blue around his eyes is a lighter shade of blue. It looked like it almost glowed in the dark.
It's bigger. It goes higher up his forehead.
Yeah, it's more pronounced, I guess.
Yeah, very pronounced.
Weird.
Former local writer, Sarah Baker, pointed out to me that his crotch is more pronounced.
Hmm. Oh, a little bulge?
There you go.
Put a sock in there?
Maybe.
It looks like that's where he lost the weight, in the crotch.
That's maybe where he tightened
up. There's more definition of crotchness.
But my point is that people were expecting the worst when it came to the Fanatic's changes, and it doesn't seem like really that many people are outraged by it.
Huh.
Now, the loud minority will voice their displeasure, but overall, I feel like people are fine with it. If you didn't tell me there were changes made, I probably would have noticed the eye thing. I wouldn't have noticed the shoes. I would not have noticed the socks. I probably would have noticed the scales on the arms. And I probably would have noticed the free hands. Other than that, shorter stout, maybe. Nonetheless, I don't mind it too much. And I was all ready to have all the outrage in the world over this new look Fanatic. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah?
I think they did all right.
You were ready. You were ready to go full war on new Fanatic.
The Philly Fanatic is the greatest icon of sports in the history of Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.